Let us pray. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So, how's Lent working for you these days? Broke any promises yet? Lost off any resolutions? I have, I gotta admit. All those things that I signed up to do, you know, not in front of anybody, but in my own mind before the Lord, I haven't kept them all yet. So, Lord, forgive us. Lord, forgive us. And that's the wonderful thing about this season, isn't it? We start off with those words, I am dust, and to dust I will return. The Lord knows that we are frail, and that every day is a new day to try and live in God's presence. So what does God require of us? I saw a movie this week, and Mary, the sister of Lazarus, who'd just been brought back from the grave, she wants to get Jesus a present, and she's pondering what it's going to be. And she says, what can you get the one who can raise the dead? Like, what else is there to give the one who can raise the dead? God has everything that God needs. The only thing that God wants from us is a relationship, is for us to be in friendship with the Creator of the universe. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? So, yes, we break our promises. We don't always live up to all our resolutions, but every day God's mercy is new, and we can come in forgiveness and just saying, okay, Lord, I messed up again. Please forgive me. Let's start again. And God says, okay, and starts again. This Lent, we've been talking about covenants or agreements, licenses, if we think in a modern way, but God calls them covenants. And the first week of Lent, we talked about God's covenant with Noah at the very beginning of the book of Genesis. And God makes this promise and this covenant with Noah and says, I will never again destroy the world by a flood. Never again. Signs his signature. So Noah's probably thinking, well, what do I sign? Do I have to sign something? But this is a covenant, an agreement, where God is the only one that has to sign. People are not told to do anything, required to do anything. God just says, I care for you so much, never again am I going to let that happen. So we can be bad, we can be good, we can be whatever we want to be. God will not destroy his creation again. That's a pretty decent covenant, eh? We don't even have to sign it. Last week, we didn't go into it in great detail because Bishop Kevin was here and he was talking more about the New Testament, but we heard about Abraham, and Abraham believed God, and God counted that as righteousness. And so God said to Abraham, I'm going to make you a covenant too, because you have been blameless and walked with me. I'm going to make a covenant that I am going to bless you. I'm going to bless all your descendants, and you are going to become the father of many nations, of thousands and thousands and thousands of people, and from you all the nations of the world will be blessed. And we know from Father Abraham came Jesus, who brought the blessing of God to all the world. And so again, Abraham just had to do something. He had to walk with God like a friend would and be blameless with other people. That means not sin against other people. That's a pretty good covenant. So today, the third Sunday in Lent, we're going to talk about another covenant, another agreement that God was going to make. And this agreement, it's with a guy that we know pretty well. His name is Moses. And Moses, sort of like Jesus, we've known him ever since he was a little baby. Remember, little baby in the bulrushes, going to be killed if the Egyptians found him. But luckily, a princess found him, and she kind of fell in love with him and adopted him as her own. So Moses, we know that story right from when he was born, and then he became the princess's son, and then he killed an Egyptian because the Egyptian was being bad to one of the Hebrew people, so he was now a fugitive, had to leave the country, rejected by his own people when he came back. Sort of sounds like Jesus too, doesn't it? Rejected by his own people. So he had brought the people, and we know the story, don't we? The parting of the water, everybody knows it. They've probably seen lots, even movies about it, although those are probably not made as often as they used to be. You're kind of old these days when you know that Charlton Heston played Moses in the movies. But we know what happened. They cross the Red Sea. They're about to enter the Promised Land. But they still had that slave mentality. When you've been under the thumb of a regime and they're treating you like slaves and you have no power to do what you want to do, only what they tell you to do, maybe you're not equipped to go into another land and to live as free people. And so we come to our third covenant. Anybody know what the third covenant is? Ten Commandments, yes. There were lots of other laws that were given, but the main ones were the Ten Commandments. And Margaret read them for us today. But I think most of us know the Ten Commandments, don't we? Let's do a test, okay? You are to have no other gods before me. You shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. Really, you guys are good. You shall remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. You shall not kill, murder, yes. You shall not commit. Yep, that's the one everybody hates. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. That means lie. You shall not covet your neighbor's property. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, spouse. So everything's sort of covered in the Ten Commandments, isn't it? To be free people, it starts with us and God. Now, Jesus is going to expand upon that. He is going to sum up all of those laws by quoting the Old Testament. Somebody says to him, what's the greatest commandment? There's, you know, 10 big ones here. We don't get off from keeping any of them. But Jesus said, if we're going to sum them up, we can sum them up like this. From Deuteronomy 5, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That is the first and the greatest commandments. And that's how the Ten Commandments start off, don't they? It starts with God. When we don't have our relationship with God the way it should be, it's really hard to have any interest in doing the rest of the commandments. But then Jesus said the second is like the first, and he quotes Leviticus 19. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. Those are the two main things. And all of those Ten Commandments, they relate back to that. If I'm loving my neighbor as myself, I'm not going to go and throw all my dirty dog poo on their lawn, right? If I think of my neighbor as I think of myself, I think, would I want my neighbor to do that to me? It means I don't go and park in front of my neighbor's driveway and leave my car there. It means that I don't push over the border of my house and put up a bush that's really on my neighbor's property. I'm thinking of neighbors that live close to us. It means if I live in an apartment, I don't always bang on my neighbor's wall and keep them up half the night or play music until 3 and 4 in the morning really loudly. It's thinking of others the way we think of ourselves. I wouldn't want anybody to do those things to me. So I'm not going to lie to my neighbor then, or other people. I'm not going to steal what's theirs. I've been involved in a long-time friendship with somebody, and the last 15 years, because of one lie that this person told, I got a whole false impression of somebody else, because the lie was really heinous. And now I'm finding out it was a lie. It was a bald-faced lie. And I thought, I didn't have any relationship with that person because of that lie. Like, it had rippling effects on how I thought of somebody, but also on how this person had to live their life. It was tragic. And that's just a little lie that we, you know, don't think too much of sometimes, do we? If we just say those little white lies, it's really easy, isn't it? Thou shalt not lie. No lying, no stealing. Putting others before ourselves. Can we do that in our own strength? Okay. Somebody wanted to answer that question. No, we can't do it in our own strength, can we? And that's the covenant that we have, that's a special covenant. Jesus said, when I go back to the Father, I'm going to give you my spirit. That is a covenant that Jesus made with us. When I go back to heaven, I am resurrected. We're heading up to that Easter, aren't we? It's only 4 weeks away. He said, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit to live within you. That will give you the strength and the joy that you need to be able to keep the covenant. Because this is one we kind of do sign up for, don't we? If we want to follow God. But Jesus doesn't leave us on our own. He is with us, and he gives us his spirit to help us. So, it means, like Abraham, we can then walk before God and be blameless toward our neighbor. So we are fulfilling the law. And maybe you think, well, that's a really good thing. But if we actually were listening when we read that psalm today, we are going to get so much more out of it. Listen to this. This is what happens when we obey the word, when we have it go down into ourselves. This is the promise that we're given. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. Do you ever feel like, I need a bit of revival, man? My body's falling apart. Sometimes my spirit's falling apart. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The precepts are right, rejoicing the heart. How many times do we need to have a heart that is rejoicing? So often our heart is sad. Sad about things in our own life, sad about things that are in the world. If we concentrate on God's word, those commandments, our hearts will rejoice. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever, forever. These are laws and scriptures that are going to last forever. It's going to take us into eternity. Into old age, which some of us are getting to pretty quickly. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. I don't know. I have a few pieces of gold jewelry, not very heavy. It's not worth much, but it's gold, and I like to wear it. Gold cross that I have, I love it, and a gold ring. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Sweet to the taste. Don't we want a sweet life? A sweet life where we are made in the image of God. We are able to love God with all our heart and soul and mind, and our neighbors as ourselves. That is the promise that God gives to us if we sign up to this covenant, that we will have all those things in our life and we will have His presence. So let's count on that this week, because we are ones that have decided to follow Jesus. And so these promises are ours. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Amen.